Okay, this week is Parashas Lech Lecha. Now, this week was a very tragic week for Klal Yisrael. The Petira of Chacham Hagoyin Rebbe Ovadia Yosef. The Levaya, there has not been such a Levaya, there has not been such a gathering Klal Yisrael probably since the time of the Baal Shemi. Estimates are approximately 800,000, 700,000, 800,000, some want to say even a million people came to the Levaya. There was never such a collection of Jews, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, in one place at the same time. Almost a million Jews, quarter of a million Jews, since at least the time of the Baal Shemi. What? Since the Baal Shemi.
No, but where?
In Yerushalayim.
Oh, now?
Now, the Levaya, this week, this Monday.
They say was over 700,000.
Over 700,000. One-tenth, they say, one-tenth of the Jewish population, one-tenth of the state of Israel was present at the Levaya. It's not such, the Ravali Yosef had a tremendous koyach. There was no Hasidah Shereva. There was no Litvish Rosh Hashiva that could attract, that can capture the minds and hearts of Klal Yisrael in the way he did to bring together so many people to give him the covered acharin. Rav Avi Yosef was, as some of the commentators was what for the Ashkenazim, the Chofetz Chaim and the Aruch HaShulchan, what the Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah did for the Ashkenazim, and the Aruch HaShulchan for the Sfardim. Yabia Omer, his Svarb, his 10 volumes of Yabia Omer, his Sefer Beis Yosef, this is the Bible. This is the Mishnah Berurah, this is the Aruch HaShulchan for the Sfardim. And it's an amazing thing that in our lifetime, in this generation, we have, we witness to see the equivalent of the Chofetz Chaim and the Aruch HaShulchan.
Not everyone can accept the Chofetz Chaim.
That's what I'm saying, that the Chofetz Chaim, that he was for the Sfardim, what the Chofetz Chaim was, the equivalent.
He was the biggest Sfardim.
For the Sfardim, right, for the Sfardim, exactly. Yeah.
He was the biggest Sfardic umbrella.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In other words, among the Ashkenazim or non-Sfardim, yeah, they were never able. You had Litvish, Yeshivish, Shvedis, Hasidish. He created a Sfardic umbrella.
Absolutely.
Super traditionals, everything. They all came under one umbrella. That was
Shas.
I hate to say it from a political point
Shas,
of view,
yes.
Great.
Shas stands for Shomrei Sefarad. Now, it doesn't stand for Ashisha Sador. Shomrei Sefarad, and that's exactly what he did. He was the bridge between, he brought together, he unified all of the Sfardim, but he wasn't just for the Sfardim. He had tremendous connections to the Ashkenazim. In fact, he attributed a lot of his technique, his halachic technique from his days learning by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He learned in the Litvish Yeshivas after he was married and when he was in his 30s, after he came back from Cairo, he was from 3 years, the Rav in, he was the Rav HaRashi in Cairo, in Egypt. And when he came back, he learned, he spent much time among on the Beis Din together, to learn with all of the greatest Litvish Rashi Yeshivas in the Gedolei Yisrael. And he writes that he contributes his technique in Lundis to his connection to the Ashkenazic Ashkenazic colleagues.
I read that one of the things, I think the Jewish weekend,
yeah,
allowed
Inin of
Yavama to marry a brother.
Well, Sfardin, that's Sfardin. Okay, his approach, this is what you'll hear about over and over, is Machzir Atara Liyoshna. He returned the glory of the Sephardic traditions and halacha to its original, the way it was originally. Sephardim traditionally followed the Beis Yosef. Ashkenazim traditionally followed the Ramah. He was extremely makbid. He spent his whole life persuading the Sephardim to return to their roots, not to be influenced by the leanings of Ashkenazic Jewry into follow the opinions of the poskim of Ashkenazim. Sfardim have a duty, an obligation to be loyal to their poskim, to where they come from, to the Beis Yosef. And this was his legacy. Machzir Atar Liyoshna Ad Kdei Kach, that there are times among the Sfardim, the greatest figure among the Sfardim is the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai of Yosef Chai Baghdad. And this is a shocking thing that he found there are a couple of places where the Ben Ish Chai is choleik on the Beis Yosef. the Ben Yishchai, his Piskei Halacha, are not in agreement with the Beis Yosef, and he wrote, he paskin not like the Ben Yishchai. And he took a lot of flack for it. A lot of the Sfardim, they were very upset because the Sfardim, they worship the Ben Yishchai. But he told them, you have to go back to your roots. And your roots are the Beis Yosef. He was loyal to the Beis Yosef, and this is his legacy. Yes?
He wanted to get rid of the Hagim of Morocco, or the Sfardim,
not pure. He wanted to restore the purity of the Sephardic traditions. Of course, he passed. Exactly. So he was probably the biggest posek, possibly since Maaseh Bereishis, possibly in being Matir Agunos. In fact, 9/11, as recent as 9/11, there were 12 or 13 cases of Agunos that were brought before him. He, after the Yom Kippur War, there were about 1,000 Agunos that he was matter. Over a 10-month period of time, he sat Yoimim v'layla, didn't sleep, didn't eat. He was put in charge by the government to look into their cases. And he dealt, and he spent 10 months nonstop. And he said recently, he said none of the Agunos that he was matir, but 1,000 Agunos, none of the Agunos he was matir ever came back. They found out their husband was alive. Siyata Shemaya, everything was done Kedasu Chedin, and he was very, very careful. There's a beautiful story, they said this about his Levaya, that a couple of years ago he collapsed. They took him to the hospital and they had to do an emergency surgery, they had to put a stent. They had to do a stent. He was nifty, he was 93 years old. His secretary claims it's a mistake, he was really 95 years old. You'll read on the media 93, but some say he was really 95. But a couple of years ago, he was very delicate, he was not well. And he told his secretary that before they do this procedure, he has to go home for 3 hours. Why? What's the emergency to go home? He's in the middle of writing a tshuva for an aguna, and he's afraid he's not going to survive the procedure. He'll die on the table. And if he'll die, there's no one that's going to be matter this aguna. He knows that he can be matter the aguna, and he wants to take, no one's going to care for her, to take care of her. And it's more important to him to go home now for 3 hours and finish the tshuva to matter the aguna before he goes in for this procedure. This is what is known as legacy of the matter agunos. There's a lot. Now, the reason why I mention this is because I'll just say some other interesting things I came across just from glancing through some of the newspapers. Interesting. The stories I'm reading about him these last 2 days, I have not read such stories since I was a child about Gedolim from about hundreds of years ago. It's incredible. Some of the incredible stories of Rav Avi Yosef. One story that really catch my attention, about Hasidus Shereba, we're talking about Sfardim. So his secretary writes this. This is a first-hand story that his sister did not have children for many years, for over 10 years. So he asked him, and she was going to go for a very complex treatment, fertility treatment, in order to have children. So he asked Rav Avi Yosef if she should do this. So he told him no, she should not do the procedure. He should do what Chazal said, there's some type of medrash. She should eat the esrog of a Talmud Chacham. There's such a thing that if a woman wants to have children, she should eat the esrog of a Talmud Chacham. That's a school for having children. So the secretary said, if that's the case, I want your esrog. Let me eat your. He gave him his esrog, which was given to this woman, and sure enough, that year she had a child. And not only did she from the esrog, there were another two women that also from the esrog, they also had. It then became a craze for the next couple of years. They were very makbid. Every day he should make a bracha on a different esrog, so they can distribute the esrogim all over Klal Yisrael for nashim that wanted to become pregnant. I know it's interesting also, something very cute that on Purim, it's very popular. You learn about greatness. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. So on Purim, it's a very popular custom among the Sfardim to dress up like Rav Avadia Yosef, to put on that beautiful cape, and to wear his signature sunglasses, dark sunglasses, and that special hat. that is a very popular costume. Everyone wants to imitate, wants to connect themselves with Rav Avadia Yosef. He's established a number of yeshivas. I don't know all the names of the yeshivas. Currently, they say there are 40,000 children that are learning Torah in his yeshivas because of Rav Avadia Yosef. He was the hasmada. He was known for hasmada like none other. He had the ability to intensely concentrate on something until he completely would not even be aware of his surroundings. And very famous, I remember heard this story many years ago, where he once climbed up on a ladder. He had in his home has an enormous number of svarim. He climbed up once on a ladder to the very top to get a certain sefer. He take out the sefer, and he opened up the sefer and became fully immersed in the sefer for a very long period of time. At Kedekach, he didn't even remember that he was standing on the ladder. And then he thought he just took a step because he thought he was on the ground. He fell off the ladder, he broke his arm, and for a number of months he was in a cast because he fell off the ladder, because that's how immersed he was in learning Torah. His hasmad is legendary. They say that he had an obsession with buying new svarim and learning new svarim. He was very, very poor. So what he did was he would tell him, made an arrangement with the moicher svarim, with the svarim shop, to let him stay in the store the whole night to read through all the new svarim. And he didn't have to buy, so he stayed in the store the whole night going through svarim. Okay, there are a lot of stories. It's very kedai to, he himself said once, Chazal say that Haroidif Achar Kovod, a person who runs after Kovod, Kovod runs away from him. If you run after Kovod, Kovod will run away from you. But if you run after Kovod, Kovod will run away from you. So he once said, and what happened, but when does it catch up with you? If you run away from Kovod, Kovod runs after you. But Kovod's, when a person dies, that's when the Kovod catches up. At his patira, there was never such a levai where 1/10 of Klal Yisrael came, 700,000 people were present. That really says quite a bit about himself. One thing that really caught my attention is that he, at one point in time in his life, you know, he loved to write, and he didn't know how to type. Okay, he wasn't from the generation that knew how to type. His son used to type for him. In fact, his son was a rebbe in a yeshiva, and he would type up his manuscripts, and he desperately needed his son to type up his manuscripts. So very often he would tell him, don't go to your job, don't go to yeshiva, just type up my manuscript. I'll go give the shir for you. He went, and he's the gift, at least twice a week. His son gave a shir, I think 6 or 7 days a week. Twice a week he would give the shir for his son, so the son can type up the manuscripts. And because of that, that attracted a lot of attention. Everyone used to come to his shiurim. One thing that caught my attention is that at one point in time, he wanted to stop giving some of his shiurim because he wanted to spend more time writing. And he told his secretary, unbelievable story, that the Ben Ish Chai came to him in a dream. Can you believe this? The Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim Mibad, came to him in a dream and told him that in Shemayim, the very Machshev, the Abi Omer, is Svarim, but they're even more Machshev, the Zikui Harabim, the inspiration you give to Klal Yisrael, to the people who hear your Shiurim, and what you do when you make your rounds. And you should not be memayet in the Zikui Harab, giving the Shiurim and attending public ceremonies in order to write more Svarim. It's an unbelievable thing that he revealed to his secretary. You don't hear such stories about people talking like this today. It was an incredible master. It's one beautiful story. Also caught my attention when he was, his family, obviously Baruch Hashem, had a lot of children, Kedai Nahara, and there were a lot of Smachos. And at some point in time, he used to excuse himself early in the Simcha till he has to go home. He went to a bar mitzvah, he went to a wedding, and he left very early. So they said to him, why do you have to leave? This is your grandchild, this is your grandson. He says, there's someone waiting, they're waiting for me, someone is waiting. So they said, who's waiting? The Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban. They're waiting for me in the study, they're waiting for me. He has to get back to his study to conclude, to finish learning, to learn more Torah. He was extremely poor. He used to tell that to a lot of the people, the Avreichim, the difference between this generation and the new generation. They know the reason why we have big problems today is because people get married, Avreichim, young people get married in Kollel, they have this expectation. They're going to live in a palace, a hotel. When he got married, he had literally nothing of nothing. Zero from zero. He lived in abject poverty. And that's how, and he says, yet he was, those days when he was poor were his happiest days in life. Those are the times when he developed, when he learned, he succeeded.
Yeah,
What? He had a lot of worries. He had a lot of children. I think he had 11 children. He had a lot of worries. He was zeichet to see his son also become the Rishon Letzion. Okay, there's a lot to say about him. I just want to.
Why did he get into politics?
So he said, oh, very good. So he got into politics because the Sfaradim were not being represented by the Aguda. Charedim. Rav Shach helped him because the Sfaradim, at that point in time, years ago, and underrepresented. The Charedim in Israel, as you know, it's divided between religious and non-religious. There's no middle ground. It's a land of extremes. There's religious and there's non-religious. The religious Sfaradim did not have anyone to represent them in government. The only place they could attach themselves until the mid-80s was the Ashkenazim, Agudas Yisrael, Degel HaTorah, and these groups did not really cater to the needs, the specific needs of the Sfaradim. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef, with the assistance and the encouragement of Rav Shach, formed his own party, Shas. In the beginning, they left. They thought it would be a disaster, but right away they got 4 seats in the Knesset, and then the Parliament. Then in 1917, 1917, and they shocked the entire country with the power, and they became extremely successful. And he became a major player in Eretz Yisrael throughout the world.
He had a very strong vote.
Very strong. The governments he could break a government.
Dying. I don't mean that physically. But
he was a major player, and he had incredible respect. He said once to his secretary, he says he couldn't care less about politics. It means absolutely nothing to him. But if through this party one person will be nizer in Taharas HaMishpacha, if one person will say Kriya Shema, through the influence he's able to use his party in order to bring in the secular Sfaradim into some form of learning Torah, it's worth everything. It's worth all the politics, all the fighting, all of the waste of time, what he did in order to be Marbe Torah, to bring, and which he did, there's no question about it. And he lifted the position of Rishon Letzion, which is the Sfaradic position, did not have any did not have that much stature. Originally, it was one head rabbi, chief rabbi in Israel, that was the Ashkenazi rabbi. And it was secondary. It was secondary. The Sfaradic, the Rishon Letzion is the position by the Sfaradic rabbi. It was secondary. It was only like an assistant to the Ashkenazi rabbi. When he became the Sfaradic chief rabbi, the Rishon Letzion, he elevated, he brought the stature up equal, 100% equal to the stature of the Ashkenazi rabbi. But it was not the way it was originally when the state was founded.
There was a movement to one shechita.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Avadia came out and he said, the Rabbi Rashi of Tel Aviv, the Sfaradi Rabbi Rashi are all, they do whatever the Ashkenazi says.
Yeah.
And if they make a one shechita, I will make a separate. Because it's got to be a
separate. That's right. That was his legacy. Zmachzir Atora Leyoshna. That was his legacy. Now, the reason why I want to mention this is because, first of all, one thing I also like very much is that how did he show affection to people? He was famous for this. He gave you a frask. He gave you a snack. That's how he showed you affection. In fact, the editor of the An magazine, if you want to read some very beautiful stories, the An magazine, the Rabbi Frankfurt, he has some beautiful, they got, I don't know how they did this, since he died, they right away interviewed his secretary and his daughter and his son-in-law. They have a lot of very... No, this is all written out. A lot of this is after. Most of it was written afterwards. Was interviewed after his Petira. So he says that when he decided to make his magazine, he went to get a bracha from him. He went to him. Frankfurt is really, if I'm not mistaken, he has a Satmar background. And he learned in the Litvish yeshivas. He learned by Rav David Soloveitchik. He learned in the Litvish yeshivas, and he has a Sard, and he has a Hasidish background. And he went to get a bracha by Rav Avadia Yosef if to start his Ami magazine, and he describes in his editorial the warm brachas he gave, and he writes this, he attributes the success of his magazine to the bracha of Rav Avadia Yosef. That's an amazing thing for him to say. And it's he shows him, giving him a picture, giving him a frask. There's a beautiful video if you are online of Matziv where where the two new chief rabbis, Rabbi Lau and his son, are meeting with Ravai Yosef and Rabbi Lau also, Rabbi Lau Senior, the previous, and he's giving them all, he's giving them, even Rabbi Lau, the senior Rabbi Lau, gives them a hard frost. That was his method, his technique of showing so much affection. Then to the younger Rabbi Lau, oh, him, he treats like a child. He's the chief rabbi now. No, he's the chief rabbi, Rabbi Lau's son, and he's treats him. You see the way he gives him, he touches him, and he holds him. It's very, very moving to watch, to see all these things. Not the same way. Okay. I like what Perez said. Perez, before the Levi, he says that it's Kedai. Perez is the president. He says, so he views himself as being the Keser Malchus. So he says it's proper that the Keser Malchus should come to the Keser Torah. That's what I thought was a very beautiful, powerful statement from the president of the state of Israel. Okay, now the reason why I'm mentioning this is because everything that happens, this event is such a significant event. This whole Klal Yisrael is involved in this event. And the Bispatira is taking took place against the backdrop of Parashas Lech Lecha. Really, the whole story of Ravadi Yosef is Nurumas in the first pasuk in the parasha. Vayoyim Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Umi Moiladcha Umi Beisavicha La'aretz Asher Arecha. Where was Ravadi Yosef born?
Baghdad.
He was born in Baghdad, in Or Kasdim. What's Baghdad? Baghdad is in the vicinity. Is in the vicinity of Bavel, of Or Kasdim. And what did Hashem say to Avram? Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. When he was 5 years old, Rabbi Yosef, he left Baghdad. He was four, he came to Eretz Yisrael. And Mamish, what the Pasuk says, he can't be more clear. From your heritage, the incredible heritage that he has there in Baghdad, from the Ben, he's named after the Ben Ishchai. His name, Avadi was the name of the Ben Ishchai's Rebbe. And I think Avadiah Abdullah, if I'm not mistaken. And Yosef, he had another name, Yosef, comes from Yosef Chaim. That's the last name, I'm not exactly sure, but his name does come from the Ben Yishchai, from Baghdad, from the great people, the big Sfardim who lived in Baghdad. And his life was, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Umi Moiladcha, from the heritage of the Sfardim, where he came from Baghdad, Umi Beisadicha, Ela Oretz Asher Areka, to Eretz Yisrael. And what will I do for you in Eretz Yisrael? Ve'eschol Legoy Godol. He became a goy gadol va'varechecha va'gadlos shenecha v'heyei bracha. You can't say that these two psukim define the essence of the life of Ravadi Yosef here against the backdrop of Parshas Lech Lecha. We know hafech va'hafech with the kulbad is even if you go further, the events of a day can be found in the kriya of that day. In other words, you take the parasha, and the parasha is divided into seven aliyos. Events that happen on Sunday can be found in the first aliyah. Events that happen on Monday can be found in the second aliyah. Events that happen on Tuesday can be found in the third aliyah. When was his patira? His tira was on Monday. What was his legacy? This is the first thing you read in the newspapers and all the magazines. He was machzir atara liyoshna. He restored the heritage, the glorious heritage of the Svardim to its original stature. And what does it say in the second aliyah on Yom Sheni, the kriya of the second aliyah of the parasha? The end of the aliyah says, Vayelich l'masa mineged v'yad beisel ad hamakoyim asher hoyosham oholo batchila, to the place where his tent was originally. Bein beisel uvein hoy el makoyim hamizbeach asher osasham barishoina vayikra sham b'shem Hashem. This is Mamish's legacy. The first thing you write is machzir atara liyoshna. He single-handedly restored the glory of the Sephardic tradition to its rightful place, exactly like it says over here, El Haramokoim Asher Hoya Shom Ola Batchilu Bein Beisel El Mekoim HaMizbech Asher Shom Borishoina Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem. This is really the glory of Ravadi Yosef. It says about Avram, Vayitilo Maser Mikol. How many people came to the Levaya? What's Maser? 10%. How many people came to the Levaya? They write the news, 10% of the population. Klal Yisrael gave themselves Maser Mikol. Vehemin Bahashem, Vayachshavelo Yitzadaka, Vehemin literally means he caused others to have emuna. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered Litzadaka, that was also his legacy, in his Torah institutions, and the inspiration, Piske Halacha, Vehemin Bahashem, he succeeded in bringing others Lidei, Emuna Yihi Zichrei Baruch. Okay, let's go to another idea in this parsha. Another thing in the parsha. I want to. Let's start with something a little short. There's a little cute vart. I think it's a very, very, very made an impression on me. The pasuk here says, "Vayisal Avram Holoch v'Nosei Hanegba." After Avram, this is Perek, the beginning of the parsha. Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Tes. It is in the first Aliyah. Hashem appears to Avram. Vayemel Lazarucha Etenes Aretz Azos. Vayiven Shom Mizbeach. He builds a Mizbeach. LaHashem Hanire Ela. Vayatek Misham Ahara Miketul Veiskel Vayidaholo Veiskel Miyom. So he travels. He builds a Mizbeach. Vayegem Hashem Hashem. And then after he builds the Mizbeach, this is really the second Mizbeach. Vayis Avram Holoch V'Nosei Hanegba. He goes south. Avraham travels to the south of Eretz Yisrael. We have a famous Chazal, Haloitze Lahadrim Yadrim. A person wants to be Lahakim Yadrim. A person wants to become wise, he shall turn towards the south. Haloitze Lahashir, if you want to become wealthy, Yatsbin, you shall move, you shall turn yourself towards the north. That's why the Rav Davin's on the right side, so the Rav should be able to be Yadrim. There's a whole lot of discussion where you stand in shul, so you should be able to turn towards the Aron Kodesh, towards the direction of Chochma or of wealth. But the why do you want to turn towards the south? Because the menorah is in the Darom, and the menorah represents Chochma. So if you want to become wise, tilt your body towards the menorah, the place of Chochma. If you want to become wealthy, tilt towards the north, because the Shulchan is in the north. Where is Avram traveling? Avram is traveling in the south. Avram wants to become wise. What does Rashi say? How do you become wise? Pasuk Tes in Rashi. He traveled towards the south. Leprakim. This idea I saw in the Alehi Goyon. He says this entire idea. Rabbi Klein. Leprakim. Avraham, he went in stages. Yoishev kan chodesh o yoiser. He stayed here for a month or more. V'noisea misham. Enough! I already dwelt here for 1 month. Now it's time to go forward. That's what he kept. You know, he stayed in one location for a period of time. He took in what should be learned from this place, and then he went weiter. This is the secret to Chachma. People make a mistake and they stick around too long. The secret to Chachma is to keep on moving. To keep on moving around. Avraham was going south. He was going towards Chochma. What's the secret of Chochma? You go to a Mokoyim, you take in, you stay there for a month, 2 months, you absorb everything there is to absorb, but you have to learn in life to move on. When you learn Torah, don't spend too much time on one sugya. You learn a sugya, you absorb what there is to take out of the sugya, and that's it. Move on. Go to the next sugya. Go to the next stage in life. That's the difference between a chacham and a tipish, or a non-chacham. A chacham knows how to go weiter.
So you move
someone
on.
To move on. What?
Not
as a one yeshiva. It means to learn from something. Don't get stuck in life. Don't get stuck in life. It depends. Not necessarily. Sometimes you should be in one place. It means in just general yisod for life. There are different things, events, different kufas in life. Don't get bogged down. There's an experience, and after that experience is over, go on. Move forward to the next experience in life. Don't get stuck. You get stuck, that is an impediment to Chochmah. Okay, let's go to another idea. At the end of the parasha, we learn about Yishmael. Not even about the birth of Yishmael, about Hagar. Hagar was driven out of the home of Avram by Sarai, and then she meets the Malach. And the Malach says to her, Sarai, let me read the words, Vayomar. The Malach says, Hagar, Shifcha Sarai. What are you doing out here in the desert? Eimi ze bos. From where have you come? Ve'onos seilechi. And where are you going? Where is your destination? Va'toimer. Hagar responds. Mipnei Sarai givirti anochi barachas. I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. Va'yomu l'malach Hashem. The malach says to her, Shuvi el givirtich, return. Ve'hisani tachas yodech and suffer. It's kedai, you should go back and submit yourself to her authority, even though it's going to come at the cost of humiliation and suffering. Now, there's an obvious question in these two psukim. Number one, the obvious question is that the Malach asked her two questions and only got one answer. The Malach asked her, where are you coming from and where are you going? And Hagar only gave one answer, only responded where she is coming from, but did not reply where she is going. Let me read the words one more time. Hagar, where are you coming from? Where are you going? Two questions. And what's her response? That Toimer, Hagar responds, I am coming, mipnei sarai givirti anochi barachas. That's it. But where are you going? No answer. The Malach says, if you have nowhere to go, then go back. In other words, what is the Musar Haskel you learned from this pasuk? The Musar Haskel is, it's very easy to criticize. We live in a generation where it's very, very easy to find fault, to critique, to find chesronos in every single thing about society. Every yeshiva and every rav and every institution. Chesronos. All you have to do is have a computer, go online, type a couple of comments, and you can criticize and rip to shreds. The problem is, you have a solution? How many people have a solution for all the problems? Very, very few, if any. It's easy to criticize, but if you were given the authority, given the power to sit in the shoes of the people who you criticize, it's very, very unlikely you would do any better due to the pressures, due to the situation, due to the circumstances than someone else. The Musar Haskel of this pasuk is, the Malach meets Hagar. Hagar, obviously very critical of Sarai. That's why you ran away. You ran away. Where are you going? Where is it better? Where are you going to find a solution to your problems? And what does Hagar say? I don't have a solution. I just know about the problems. I'm running away from Sarai because she's no good. She's full of chesronos. But I don't have any better solution. I have nowhere to go. If that's the case, keep your mouth shut. Go back where you came from and just sit it out. That's the Musar Haskel. If you don't have a solution to the problem, you can't do any better. You have to realize, we don't live in a perfect world. That's the way it is. People are extremely critical. And when they finally have the opportunity to take over, they make a bigger churban. It's proven they make a bigger churban than it was when it was before. So that's a very powerful limud ha-musar we can take from this pasuk. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, well, now this idea is a little bit more lengthy. I want to go back to the beginning of the parasha, to the Mizbech. I think there's something very interesting to be mentioned, to be discovered in these few psukim. Okay, let me read you the psukim. It's the beginning of the parasha, Pasuk Zayin, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayero Hashem El Avram. Suddenly, as Avraham is traveling from Ur Kasdim to Eretz Yisrael, suddenly Hashem appears to Avram. Vayomer, and Hashem says to Avram, Avram, I have good news to tell you. Lizar acho etein es aretz hazos. You see this land? I think Rashi says he was in Shechem. He was in Shechem boundary. You see this land? I'm going to give you this land. Lizar acho etein es aretz hazos. Avraham was very pleased, and in response to this revelation, Pasuk says, "Vayiven sham mizbeach laHashem hanireh elav." Avraham builds a mizbeach. Very nice, beautiful. What more can you want from Avraham? Hashem promises Eretz Yisrael. He builds a mizbeach. We can assume he offered sacrifices. He davens. Whatever he does, he does. Okay. Avraham is finished. He keeps on traveling. Vayatek misham ahara. He removes his tent, and he begins to travel on the next leg of his journey. He travels to the mountain, Mikedem Leveisel, on the eastern side of Beisel. Vayet Oholo, he pitches his tent, or pitches her tent, according to Rashi. Beis El Miyam, the Beisel is on the west. V'cho'ai Mikedem, Ai is on the east. He's in between Beisel and the city of Ai. Vayiven Shom Mizbeach LaHashem, and now he builds a second Mizbeach. This is the second Mizbeach that that Avram is building, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And here it says something that it did not say above. Here it says when he builds this mizbech, he calls out in the name of Hashem. All right. Then what does he do? He goes on the next leg of his journey. Vayisa Avram holoch v'nosoa hanegba. Two mizbechos. A mizbeach that was built near Shechem when Hashem revealed to him that you're going to inherit, your children are going to inherit the Shechem, and a second mizbeach by Ai. Now Rashi tells us, why did Avram build the mizbeach when he came to Ai? He saw al pi ruach hakodesh, the day would come when his children would come into Eretz Yisrael, and they Ochon would take from the spoils of Yericho, they would then attack Ai, and they would be defeated. There would be a terrible Chorban, and he saw that this Chorban was so dangerous, there was a possibility that the entire Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out. So what does he do? He's mispalel. He's mispalel al ha'aset. Tfila koidem litzara. That's why he builds the mizbech, and that's why he calls out b'shem Hashem. He recognizes there is danger, there is chet. And chet needs kapara, needs tfila, and he wants to do the best he can to mitigate what is coming in the future. Now, the Mefarshim make the following point. The trop of the two mizbechos is very different. There is a very big difference where we put the kama in the, with reference to the building of the first mizbeach and the building of the second mizbeach. Let me read the pasuk again. Avraham has a revelation. Hashem says, L'zarecha atenes aretz hazos, vayiven shom mizbeach kama. Tzmapach, pashto, zokev katon, kama. Avraham builds a mizbeach, period. He builds a mizbeach. Why? Why did he build this mizbeach? Because lahashem hanir'e elav. It was an honor of Hashem who appeared to him. Now, when Avraham builds the second mizbeach, it says, vayiven shom mizbeach lahashem. Lahashem is part of the sentence. Avraham is building a mizbeach for Hashem. He's not building the Mizbeach in response. Hashem appeared to me. I'm now going to build the Mizbeach. I'm building this. I am taking the initiative. I am taking the initiative. Vayiven Shom is Hashem is not appearing to me. I recognize there's danger in this Makom. I have a sensitivity. There's Ochon and there's Ai. There's Yericho. There's going to be a problem. And therefore, I'm going to take the initiative. Vayiven Shom Mizbeach LaHashem. Period. And then, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Two different types of mizbechos. Okay. Now, let's then go to, fast forward. There's a famine in Egypt. There's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And because of the famine, Avraham has no choice. He has to go down to Mitzrayim. He goes down to Mitzrayim. He has the whole episode with Paro, with Sarai. And finally, after a whole long episode, he escapes. Vayal Avraham in Mitzrayim. He leaves. And Avram is very wealthy. He begins to backtrack, he goes backwards to where he came from, and he goes back to Beis El. He goes back to the location, the second location between Beis El and Ai. Vayelich lamasav minegev yad Beisel ad hamakoy mashal hoyasham to the place hoyasham oholo batchila. Bein Beisel Bein Ho'ai. And what does it say? El Mekoim HaMizbeach. He goes back to the place of the Mizbeach, Asher Oso Shom Barishoina, that he built originally, Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem. Now the simple meaning of this pasuk is that we know Avram made two Mizbeachos. He made a Mizbeach in Shechem, and he made a Mizbeach between Beis El and Ai. Avraham now, after he returns from Mitzrayim, he comes back to the second Mizbeach, which was between Beis El and Ai. He comes to Mizbeach, and once again, Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem.
So this is the second one?
That's the Pashup Shah. That's how most of the Mepharshim learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Oh, excellent. So there's a very big difficulty in the Pasuk. If it's really true, since we do know that Avraham immediately built two Mizbechos. One Mizbech he built in Shechem. The second Mizbech he built in Bin Ai. And now when he comes back from Mitzrayim, he goes back to, it's clear as day, he goes back to the place between Beis El and Ai. So that's the second Mizbech, not the Mizbech Asher Osa Shom B'Shniyah. Asher also sham, not the first mizbech, the second mizbech.
So, in the beginning.
Oh, so you have to learn Parshat Shad, the very simple temptation. But Rishayna means before. It means before he went to Mitzrayim. The word Rishayna is not to be interpreted relative to the two mizbechas. Rishayna means before he went down to Egypt.
Right. Well, you could say the other way. Now he's attaching Vayikra Bishem Hashem.
Okay, let's go one step at a time. Let's go one exactly. So that's the point I want to bring out. So Silum Shad is Barishona means he's now coming back. He's now coming back to the second Mizbeach. We're calling it Rishona because it was before he went to Egypt. We're going to loosely translate Rishona that was done before. That's how some of the Mefarshim learn, but it's difficult because it's not very literal. If you were writing the Pasuk, you would be more careful, more precise, not to use the word Rishona. The second difficulty is, but if you do learn that it's the second Mizbeach, then Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Sham Avram B'Shem Hashem is very good. Because when Avram originally built the first two Mizbechos, where do we find the expression of calling out Vayikra B'Shem Hashem? By the second Mizbech. By the first Mizbech, there was no Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. By the first Mizbech, he just built it in honor of Hashem HaNireh Lo. The only time it says the expression Vayikra B'Shem Hashem was by the second Mizbech. So if now Avram is coming back to the second Mizbech, and he's calling Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, it makes sense, because that's what he did the first time. Why did he say Rishayna? Rishayna means relative to going down to Egypt. However, now I don't know if anyone says this. I don't know if this is correct. Could be this is totally wrong, or maybe this is drush. But perhaps you can learn the pasuk that Avraham retraced his footsteps and he also went back to the first mizbeach. I don't know if this is correct. We have to be mind more in the Rishonim to see if you can say this pshat. No, because the most important part is silent. There's not much commentary to define. But perhaps you can read the pasuk. Vayelech Avraham l'masa b'negev yad beisel. As first Avraham returns, he returns ad mekoy masher hoyasham ohalo batchil. Avraham first goes back to the second location between beisel and Ai. Batchila bein beisel vein Ai. Then Avraham goes further. Avraham, there must be a rishon that says this. Avraham then goes. After he returns to location number two, and he spends some time where his tent was, Ohalo Batchila, he then goes back to the location of the first Mizbeach. He goes back. He goes weiter. El Mokoim Ha Mizbeach. He then goes back to the Asher Oso Shamba Rishayna. Okay, it has to be that some of the Rishayna don't like this. But if that's correct, if you're going to then say that Avram, he retraces footsteps, both legs of his journey, to location 2, and then back to location 1, we have now a new difficulty, which was exactly what you touched upon. The new difficulty is, Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem. Now, in location number 1, Avraham is calling out B'Shem Hashem. When did Avraham call out B'Shem Hashem?
Number two.
First time, Vayivin Sham Mizbeach, period. LaHashem HaNir Elof. Number two, Vayivin Mizbeach LaHashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Now Avraham is retracing his footsteps. He goes to location number 2. Okay, very nice. Then he goes to location number 1, the first Mizbech HaShe'osa B'Rishayna, number 1. And now he's doing at location number 1 what he did at location number 2, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. What's the Musar Haskel? What's the Musar? So this is a Musar Haskel for life. In life, many times, there are two times when a person gives Shevach V'Hoidah, comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are the good times and the not such good times. There are good times when a person is zochah to make a simcha. He's zochah to make a simcha. He feels a shefa of bracha that comes upon him. So what does he do? Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you so much for this kindness, for this bracha, for this gift. I want to give you shevach v'hoida. I'm going to say halal. I'm going to give tzedakah. I'm going to do chesed. I'm going to be mesakin something in honor of Hashem. Then, Rachmana Litzlan, there are times in life that are not so good. And a person is forced to come close to Hashem through difficult times. The first Mizbeach was the ultimate bracha. The ultimate bracha, you're going to have children, you're going to have a land. L'zarecha etenes ha'aretz hazos. What does Avraham do? Vayivin shem Mizbeach. L'Hashem ha'nira elof. But Avraham doesn't exert himself. He just builds the Mizbeach. That's all he does. later in life has a grace tzara. What's the grace tzara? He comes to Ai, and in Ai it's revealed to him that all of your descendants are going to be wiped off the face of the earth because of the chait of Ochan. And what does Avram do? I have a big problem on my hands. Everything is at risk. I got a big tzara. Vayiven shom mizbeach la Hashem. He builds the mizbeach. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He goes to town. He cries out, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. There's a much greater intensity of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he builds the mizbeach la Hashem in Ai, and he calls out b'shem Hashem. Then Avraham goes to Mitzrayim and has a whole experience. He gets a little bit older, a little wiser. He comes back home. When he comes back home, he learns from life, from his life experience, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a bracha, don't take it lightly. It took him the experience of coming to Ai and witnessing, coming in contact with the Tzara, to Vayivin Shom Mizbech, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, to recognize, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the bracha of Lezarecha Etenes Aretz Hazos, and I built the Mizbech, that was the place I should have exerted myself, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. And now, later in life, in retrospect, he comes back to the first Mizbech, where he had the revelation of the bracha, and now he wants to redo it. Now let me do now what I should have done when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the bracha of Lezarecha Etenes Aretz Hazos. And that's a very powerful Musar Haskel in life. In life we don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the bracha. Unfortunately we don't realize how great the bracha is until unfortunately things in life are not so good. And then we have to look back in retrospect and say, wow, I remember the good old days. I didn't appreciate it. In the good old days, when I built that Mizbech, I just built a little Mizbeach. It should have been Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. This is the Musar Haskel of what the Pasuk tells us. Now let me show you this idea in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, how many Mizbechos are there? So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me two. There's Mizbeach Oilo, Anachoshes, and Mizbeach Hazov. Mizbeach Anachoshes turned into a Mizbeach of stone in the Bayis. In the Bayis Rishon, in the Bayis Sheni, and the Mizbech Hazav remain the same. But the truth is, there are really three Mizbechos. Because the Mizbech HaNechoshes is really a double Mizbech. A Chatos, where do you sprinkle the blood? Lamala Michot HaSikra. All of the Korbanos, where do you sprinkle the blood? Lamata Michot HaSikra. How is the Mizbech constructed? It's a Mizbech on top of a Mizbech. There's a Soivet. You have a foundation. The foundation is out. You can't bring your cash from the... You have a Soivet. Then you have the first five Amos. That's a whole Mizbeach. That's a chunk. There's a Mizbeach, five Amos, by 32 or 32. And then there's a Soivet. The Mizbeach is really comes to an end. On top of that, you have another Mizbeach that's smaller, which has corners. So when you bring a carbon chatos, you go up the ramp, you go onto the soivev, you walk around, you stand on top of the lower mizbeach, and you sprinkle the blood on the corners of the upper mizbeach. When you bring a carbon oila, when you bring carbon shlamim, when you bring carbon taida, and all the other carbonos, where do you sprinkle the blood? You sprinkle the blood on the lower, you stand on the ground, and you sprinkle on the corner of the lower mizbeach. You really have two mizbechos merged, one on top of the other. And then you also have the mizbeach Hazov. So I want to suggest the Mizbeach Lamala Michud HaSikra, the Mizbeach that's on top of the main Mizbeach, that is the Mizbeach of Ai. Avraham constructed two Mizbeachos. He comes to Shechem. Hashem's Avraham, good news. Lezarecha Etenes Oretz Hazos. I'm giving you this land, you can have children, you can have land, it's yours. Oh, Givaldik. That Mizbeach that Avraham built when he heard the good news is the lower portion of the Mizbeach. In our base HaMikdash, we have a lower that lower portion, the Yesoid with the five Amos, that's the Mizbeach for the good news. The Karban Oila. The Karban Oila, you thank Hashem, you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You bring a Karban Toida. Most of the Karbanos, you come in close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the blood is sprinkled on the lower portion of the Mizbeach. That is the Mizbeach on the bottom. Then Avram comes to Ai, and Rachmana Litzlan, the Grace of Tzaris. There's going to be a Holocaust. I have to do tshuva, I have to come close. So what is this? Chet. Chata Yisrael. Those are the words. Those are the words. Chata Yisrael. Chet. So what does Avraham do? He builds a new Mizbeach. New trap, a whole new trap. Vayivin Shah Mizbeach Lashem. Period. A whole new trap, a whole new Mizbeach. It's a different Mizbeach. And what does he do in this Mizbeach? He pleads. Chatasi. Forgive us. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. That's the upper portion of the Mizbeach. That's the part of the Mizbeach where you sprinkle the Dam Chatos. The Dam Chatos comes for Kapara. Two different Mizbeachos merged, corresponding to the two Mizbeachos that Avraham Avinu built. But then what happens later in Avraham's life, he goes to Mitzrayim. He reflects over the whole episode of what happened in his life. Then he finally retraces footsteps after the Golos, right? Going down to Mitzrayim is the Golos. And then he comes out of Golos and he reflects. And what does he realize? He realizes that what he did on Mizbeach number 2, he should have done on Mizbeach number 1. He synthesizes the two Mizbeachos into one. That's the Mizbeach Hazov. Because the Mizbeach Hazov, on the one hand, what do you pour, what do you sprinkle on the surface of the Mizbeach Hazov? The blood of the ultimate Chatos. The Dampar, Dam Sohir of Yom HaKippurim. The Dampar is Mechaper on the Chatos of Yom HaKippurim. Okay, it's not Asur La'Zazlitz, but it represents the Chet. These are the Chatoim of Tumas Midrash V'Kadoshav. It's the highest form of Chet of Yom HaKippurim. That's the only blood you sprinkle on the Mizbeach Hazov. It's the blood of the Stam Sohir and the Dampar of Yom Kippur, which is Mechaper for the Chatoim of Klal Yisrael. At least the Tumas Midrash V'Kadoshav, those form of Chatoim. And what else do you do on that Mizbeach? You bring Ketores every single day, twice a day. What is the Ketores? Reach Nichoyach. It's the ultimate coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Reach Nichoyachi. It's the ultimate closeness. It is the synthesis. The Mizbeach Hazov is the synthesis of the two Mizbeachos. It is the event in the life of Avraham Avinu when he comes back after Mitzrayim, he comes back to Mizbeach number 1, and he does on Mizbeach number 1 what he did on Mizbeach number 2, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He synthesizes the two Mizbeachos together. So to sum up what we have over here, Avraham Avinu, it's not to be taken lightly, is building a double Mizbeach. Make sure you catch the Balkari, the trap. It's a very big difference in how you read the Pasuk. Vayivin Shem Mizbeach, period, Lashem and Eri Lov. The second Mizbeach, the Adam Mizbeach was Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the good you've done for me. The second Mizbeach was because of Chet, Chota Yisrael, Ochon. Ay. Vayivin Shem Mizbeach LaHashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. What's the Musa Haskel? Later in life you realize, when should you take advantage, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, don't wait for the Tzara. Don't wait for the Tzara. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem should be the good times. The good times of L'Zarecha, Etenes Aretz Hazos. You go back to El Mekoyim HaMizbech Asher Oso Shom Barishoyna Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. And that's the three Mizbeachos. The lower part of the Mizbeach, the upper part of the Mizbeach, the synthesis of the two Mizbeachos together, the Mizbeach Hazov. Okay. All right, so okay, with that we will conclude. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best. I like that, Lord.